President Trump has now nominated Neil Gorsuch, Judge Neil Gorsuch, to the U.S. Supreme Court. We're going to talk about this with Kelly Shackelford, President and CEO of First Liberty Institute. He's also the founder of that organization. For Vocal Point, I'm Jerry Newcomb. Kelly, welcome back to the program. And I remember having you on before, and you were talking specifically about then-candidate Trump. And one of the big issues was related to the U.S. Supreme Court. It seems as if the president has made good on his promises.
Well, I think he has. I mean, number one, as a group that's committed to religious freedom, I mean, that's all we do is religious freedom. Candidate Trump made some pretty big commitments to defending religious freedom, and he really hit a home run here. Neil Gorsuch not only is good on religious freedom, he's probably the best I've ever seen as far as opinions that are already out that he has written, numerous opinions that are solid. And in fact, things that your listeners would already know about. He wrote a really good, really good on the issue with the Little Sisters of the Poor case. Real good on the Hobby Lobby case. Really good on a case involving a memorial to fallen state troopers when people complained that it was a violation of the Establishment Clause. And he's just been good over and over and over again, really solid on defending religious freedom in his opinions. And boy, that's something we usually don't get to see ahead of time.
Yeah. You know what's interesting about this, too? I've been around for a while, and I saw what happened to Robert Bork. And then we saw how when George H.W. Bush, who replaced Reagan in the presidency, he nominated an unknown man, David Souter. And part of the whole idea was, well, just trust us on this. He has no record, but trust us, he'll be fine. And part of the reason for the no record was the idea of, okay, the Democrats in the Senate can't, you know, rake him over the coals for that. Well, Souter turned out to be a disaster from a Christian perspective. But here's a man, as in Neil Gorsuch, that does have a record, and it's a good one from a conservative perspective. But maybe the fight will then begin.
Yeah, no, I think that lesson was learned. If you want to know the exact moment, the Republicans always had this theory of picking people without a paper trail. Well, you know, if somebody's in their 50s and you can't find anything to show that they're a conservative, then maybe they aren't so conservative.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of like same as being a Christian. If they're 50 and there's no evidence to convict them of being a Christian, maybe they're not. And so I think after the Harriet Myers situation, you had President Bush just say, "Okay, I'll pick somebody with a record. I'll pick Justice. I'll pick Sam Alito."
What a great guy!
One of the most extensive records in the history of anybody. He's written more opinions, all this, and you know what? Even had statements against Roe v. Wade. And guess what?
Yeah.
He got through. He got to the Supreme Court. And I think that was a really light bulb moment for Republicans that
Excellent.
We don't have to, you know, hide the fact that these are judges who are going to restrain themselves to the law and the Constitution. We're going to be real clear. We're picking judges that are textualists, that are originalists, that aren't going to look at the Constitution like it's an evolving document. It's a living, breathing thing that changes with their whims. And you know what? I think that's a much better approach.
Yes.
And as you say, it might draw some fire. But I really don't think that Neil Gorsuch is going – I don't think it's going to work against him. I think his manner, his style, his impeccable credentials. Yes. I mean, not only Harvard and being a scholar, you know, Columbia, Harvard, Oxford, PhD, all this. He's obviously incredibly well-educated, been an incredibly well-respected judge, and he's a mild-mannered type, humble person. And I think all that together makes for a bad target for the other side. So I highly expect that he is going to get through and be on the court, sooner rather than later, in fact.
Wow. I've been surprised to see the New York Times come out with an op-ed written by a Georgetown professor who said, "I'm on the other side of the aisle from this guy, but this is a good choice." And he said, "In 11 days of the Trump administration, I haven't been pleased with virtually anything President Trump has done, but this I like." And that was published in the New York Times, again, as an op-ed. There was also an op-ed in the Washington Post from Robert George of Princeton, who's been on this program. He's a wonderful conservative professor there. And glad he's got tenure. Anyway, he wrote a very nice article about the judge.
Yeah, I think for your listeners, those who know Robert George, this ought to probably give them the most comfort about Judge Gorsuch. If you know much about Robert George, he is, you know, considered probably the leading intellectual on, from a legal standpoint and philosophy standpoint, on marriage and
yes,
life and the issues that we think are important. He went to study at Oxford under the number one person in the world on natural law. That's where Robert George went to get his in-depth study. Neil Gorsuch did exactly the same thing. He specifically went to Oxford to get a Ph.D. to study under John Finnis, the leading mind in the world on natural law theory. That is the kind of person. So that you see Robbie George, you see Neil Gorsuch, that should give people a lot of comfort as knowing the type of deep, committed, principled philosophy and approach that he has. He wrote a book on euthanasia.
Yeah.
That would be, you know, solid. In fact, Robert George was his editor,
yes,
of that book.
Yeah.
So that tells you a lot, I think, about the type of judge you can expect him to be and whether you would expect him to be consistent. But you're referencing Neil Katyal and his, who's a liberal, and his article endorsing Gorsuch is because he's a humble man, even though he's very bright. He's a humble man.
Gorsuch.
He acts, Gorsuch does. He acts in a way that people respect and with some kindness and all that. And so he can even, that's why I think he's going to be a hard target, because, if he was abrasive or bombastic or any of those type of things, you know, like a Robert Bork. I mean, Robert Bork had some great theories, but he's pretty in your face. I mean, that's just his style. That is not the style of Gorsuch. So I really do think that they were looking for a big fight. They'll try to probably make somewhat of a fight, but I think it's all going to be window dressing, and I think that Neil Gorsuch is going to be sitting on the U.S. Supreme Court.
Mm. Wow, that's fantastic. Since you mentioned natural law, and since it meant something to the founders, and ultimately we're having a debate here about what type of future we'll have in this country as far as the Constitution and what does it mean, and, you know, is it a living, breathing document, or does the original intent of the founders matter? How about a quick comment about natural law?
Well, I mean, I think the first thing when it comes to a Supreme Court justice is their approach to interpreting law. And it really, I think the listeners can understand this, even if they're not lawyers, because I find there are incredible similarities to how you interpret the Bible. There are people that think that, well, this is an old document, this Constitution, and so I need to read it in today's, culture, and I might need to shift things around and make it work and fit. And therefore, it's sort of living and breathing. Well, people do the same thing with Scripture.
Yes.
They say, well, it's old. It was written thousands of years ago. And they feel like they have the leeway to evolve in how they understand and change. And we got to adapt this to the culture. It's a bad approach either way. But what is great about Gorsuch is he's been very outspoken about this, in that it's not a matter of what decision he wants to get to. He said, if you are being a faithful judge, there will be results you don't like, because you're not result-oriented. Mm. You're doing your job.
Right.
You're looking and saying, what does this say? What does the statute or what does the Constitution say? What did it mean when it was passed? You might not like what it does, but your job is to faithfully apply the law. That is the type of judicial restraint that Scalia, I think, really modeled, and that Gorsuch is modeling as well. And therefore, he's not going to, try to take the law into his own hands to try to do good, which is what a lot of the liberals do. They think they're doing good, but what they're really doing is they're abusing their position. Laws are supposed to be made in the legislature, where people have input, where people can change those laws. The laws aren't supposed to be made in a back room by judges. The judges are supposed to faithfully apply those laws, not to begin to reinterpret and put things in because they think the culture is going a certain direction. There's none of the feedback. I mean, they're in there for life. There's nothing people can do when they do that. And so that's why it's important that you get judges that are restrained, that know what their proper position is, and that don't try to take this power in their hands. And if Gorsuch is like I think he's going to be, and if there are more added like him, we're going to find ourselves not talking about the Supreme Court as much, because that's not going to be the center of our universe in the United States. It's going to be in the legislature where laws are made, and that's where it should be, where the people can have input, interaction, they can change legislators, they can do those kinds of things. The reason there's so much political activity on the court is because we've had the court really step out of its role. And I think if we get more judges like Gorsuch, then we're going to have a much better approach. And I think the approach the founders wanted us to have in how to interpret the Constitution and our federal laws.
Okay, now Chuck Schumer, the leading of the opposition in the Senate, leader of the opposition in the Senate, says that this judge is out of the mainstream. Your comments?
That's silly. You know, they had these signs made up before they even knew who the choice was.
That's a good point.
I mean,
they were pretty quick on that, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. And it's just, it's sad that people lack that kind of credibility. He's, you know, Gorsuch is very mainstream conservative. He's right along the line of a Scalia. He's written, I mean, again, he's impeccable credentials. Incredible background, respected by, you know, as you mentioned earlier, by, you know, leading liberals that just you can't help that. So they can't go after him because of his background, his experience, his writing, just huge, huge numbers of opinions as you can look through and read. And people, all people say the eloquence, the strength of the opinions, the writing excellence is just beyond what you read with almost any other judge. It's very Scalia-like. And so they see that this is a very, very talented guy. Again, anybody who saw him Trump, anybody who sees that, they look at him, they know this is a pretty humble guy, the way he handles himself, and that's his reputation. They're not going to be able to create the boogeyman that they'd like to create, as trying to create, you know, him being, you know, something that's not in the mainstream, because he is very much in the mainstream of conservative judges. In fact, he's pretty much typical for exactly what conservatives look for in a judicial restraint type of judge.
Now, Democrats want payback in light of the fact that the Republicans in the Senate did not even give a voice vote or whatever to President Obama's selection to fill Scalia's seat. Quick comment on that?
That's silly. Payback doesn't work. The American people don't like that. The reality is it's almost been 100 years since we ever considered anybody for the court when a seat opened up during an election year. We just don't do that. What we do is, since it's during the election year, we say, well, let's just let the people decide that by picking the president that they want to pick.
Oh, so then Obama did something wrong then, in your opinion, in even making the selection?
Well, he can make the selection, but It's very normal for the Senate, and in fact, many people have admitted on the Democrat side they would have done the same thing. Mm. It's not during a political year. It's just not normally done. And what you do instead is, and what they did in this election is, they said, okay, well, we'll just kind of let that be decided by the American people.
Yep.
And you know what? Sure enough, Jerry, I mean, the number one issue for many, many people, I mean, we're talking about huge millions of people, was the courts.
Yep.
In fact, for evangelicals, it was the number one issue, and 81% of those evangelicals voted for Trump. So it was an issue that was voted on, and they chose a Trump-appointed Supreme Court replacement versus a Clinton-appointed Supreme Court replacement. So really, I think putting it in the hands of the people is about the best approach you can have, and they made their decision on that very issue as you looked at the polling and what they were voting on. Mm-hmm. And I think it was, for the people, that it was the most important issue of all the issues that they voted on for president. It was like in the 50s yes. of percent of those people were Trump supporters, and it was around 40% had supported Clinton.
All right, Kelly Shackelford, thank you for your time. FirstLiberty.org for more information. God bless and all the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.